Dearest brethren, I hope this message finds you well. I miss being able for us to gather together and worship together as a congregation, but I pray that this message will be an encouragement to you at this time until we can soon meet together again, join our voices together and worship to God. The topic that I have for you this day is the subject of the just shall live by faith. This comes from a verse from the prophets in the Old Testament and then is cited at least three times in the New Testament. Habakkuk 2:4 says this, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." We have need of faith in this time in which we live. We have need of faith in this challenge through which we're going through now. We need nothing more than to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, to lean not unto our own understanding, and in all our ways to acknowledge him, and he shall direct our paths. We need to rely on the Lord at this time. We need to have faith, which comes from the power of God. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Habakkuk 2:4. This verse contrasts the pride of haughty man with the faith of the righteous in God. I said it was cited three times in the New Testament. One is from Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The other is in Galatians chapter 3, verses 9 through 14. "So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." And then third, in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." There are three observations I would like to make from God's word about this phrase, "the just shall live by faith." One, the righteous are those that have faith, and those that have faith are the righteous. Just means righteous. It means him who is right with God, him who is justified, him who can stand before God being clean and righteous and right with God. And this phrase, "the just shall live by faith," indicates to us that the just or the righteous are those that have faith. And in the converse, those that have faith are the ones that are righteous. Jesus, in his words to Nicodemus, expressed this. He said, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Here in this passage, we have contrasted the believer. The believer is not condemned. What precious words those are. What a precious phrase, "not condemned." What better thing could there be than to, when we stand before God in judgment, that the verdict would come down upon us, not condemned. And so we have the precious promise, the precious words of Jesus Christ, saying here, he that believeth on him is not condemned. That is the hope presented, proclaimed in the precious gospel, the gospel which Paul says, in which the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. He that believeth on him is not condemned. On the other side, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Later in this chapter, John 3:36, it is expressed in this way, in its stark and utter and glorious clarity, the contrast between the believer who is not condemned and has everlasting life, and the unbeliever who is condemned and upon whom the wrath of God abides. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John expresses his own intention in writing the account of the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that he writes in the book we call John. He writes these things so that the reader would believe in the name of Jesus Christ. So we see that the righteous are those that have faith, and those that have faith are the righteous. Second observation that we can make from this phrase, the just shall live by faith, is this: the righteous trust in God and God's righteousness rather than their own works. We really have set for us two paths to justification, two paths to rightness with God, two paths to righteousness. There is the way of the works of the law, and it is contrasted with the way of faith. In Romans 1, where we cited, Paul said of the gospel, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The essence of the faith spoken about in the scriptures, the essence of that faith is a faith which trusts in, believes in, depends upon, looks to the righteousness of God rather than our own righteousness. That blessedness is the kind of blessedness of which it is said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That is a blessedness which comes by the free gift of grace from God. The righteous, the just, they trust in God and God's righteousness rather than their own works. The book of Galatians, in the passage that we read in particular, expresses this in clear and powerful terms. They which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Who are the blessed? It is they which are of faith. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. The path of righteousness by way of the law is one that for sinful man leads to a curse, because unless man is to keep every one of God's commandments and keep them perfectly, even if he fulfill all except one and offend at any one, he is described by the law as being guilty of all. That is the nature of the law, that righteousness by the law. It is described as the one who doeth them shall live in them, that in those commandments is the path to life. But man has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so Paul goes on to say, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. He shows by the positive declaration from the prophet Habakkuk that the just are those that live by faith. He goes on to say, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. We are reminded in this passage of how Jesus Christ was hanged on a tree, was crucified, was put to death, shed his blood, and died. Why? So that he would redeem us from the curse of the law by becoming that curse for us, by taking our sin upon himself and dying as a substitute in our place. What a glorious truth, which causes us to look not to our own righteousness and our own works for our status as being righteous, but to look to the righteousness of God. He says that the blessing of Abraham, remember all those promises to Abraham, that he would be heir of the world, that he would be a father of many nations, that through his seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And he says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, the nations, that is, the nations, all the nations, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The blessings that we receive of God, we receive them through faith. Our status in the family of God, we receive through faith. We don't attain it by the accomplishment of our own works or our own merit, but through believing in God and trusting in his righteousness and trusting in him rather than in our own works. Third, from the phrase, the just shall live by faith, we see that the righteous shall live by faith. That is, the life that the righteous lives will be the working out of faith. It will be a life marked by the fruit of the Spirit, by good works which proceed from faith, by faith which worketh by love. That is, in the righteous, there is the outflowing of the evidence of that work of faith that God has done in them that lives out in the life of the righteous. That is to say that faith is not merely just something that we think in our minds or even perhaps believe in our hearts, but keep to ourselves and has no impact on our life. True faith works itself out in good works that are in harmony with the commandments and righteousness of God. True faith works its way out in the life of the believer, in a life marked by the fruit of God's Spirit, by the faithful obedience to the commandments of Jesus Christ, and a spirit of love that is the outflow of that faith. Colossians 2:6 exhorts us, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. We didn't receive Christ Jesus the Lord by our works, by our walking, by our running, by our effort. We received through faith, by the grace and the power of God. But as we have now received that gift, let us so therefore walk in him. Let us order our lives, our works, and our ways in accordance with Christ Jesus, whom we have received as Lord. In Ephesians 5:8-9, we are exhorted, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And James, in no uncertain terms, warns against the kind of expression of so-called faith, which is a claim of faith that does not work itself out in the fruitfulness of good works. He warns strongly against this. He says, what doth it profit, my brethren? This is James 2:14-17. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? We get the impression that perhaps there were those at this time he's writing who had taken that glorious doctrine of justification by faith and had twisted it as if it had said that a man can have faith but have no change of life, no change of behavior. That a man could somehow claim to have faith and be saved and yet have no works that exemplify and live out the truth of that faith. He, in no uncertain terms, addresses that error, that when he says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" So here is his analogy, here is his illustration that he gives. Faith that is only a mere claim of believing, a claim of faith, but that does not live itself out in obedience to the commandments of God, in submission to the ways of God, is like if a brother or sister came to you and they had no food. And you had food with you, but instead of giving them that which is needful to the body, you only give them words. You say, "Be ye warmed and filled," but you give them not those things which are needful to the body. It ought to be clear in his illustration that if you truly desired your brother or sister to be clothed and to be fed, and you had it with you to give them those things needful, then you would do so. And your actions, the living out of your inner beliefs, would result in you giving those things which are needful to the body. That is his illustration, the analogy. And so he says, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. In other words, he says, the true faith, the faith which the Bible speaks of, the faith which Jesus and Paul and James and Peter and the other apostles and prophets spoke of, the faith that Habakkuk spoke of when he said, "The just shall live by his faith," that faith lives itself out in the life of the believer, leading to good works that are in accordance with the working of faith in their heart. We need faith now and at all times. We need faith in the midst of the challenges we're currently enduring. We need to cast our trust upon God, trusting in him, knowing that we can depend upon him, knowing that he is a strong tower. He is a fortress. He can protect us. He can guide us. He will lead us. He will provide for us. He will provide everything that is needful for us. And if we have any doubt about that, if we have any doubt that God will do everything that is needful for us, all we have to do is think back to what he has already given us. He gave us his only begotten Son. If he didn't hold back from us the thing that was most valuable and most needful, his Son, then how shall he not freely with him also give us all things? God will give us everything we need. We can depend upon him. We can look to him. So believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous trust in God and God's righteousness rather than their own works, and the just shall live by faith. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do come before you with thanksgiving and praise. We are in the midst of a difficult time. It is difficult to be separated from one another. It is difficult to be isolated, to have our work affected, to have our family, our travel, our relationships, our daily lives turned upside down through our current circumstances. Perhaps most of all, we are faced with the difficulty of not, on this Sunday, being able to come together in person, meet together, and shake one another's hands, and lift up our voices together in songs of praise to you, and to encourage one another. But Lord, May you bless us to be able to continue to do those things now through the means that we have available to us to encourage one another, exhort one another daily, while it is called today. And Lord, may you bring the speedy resolution of the difficulties we are facing in our time, that we might once again, very soon, be able to meet together and worship you in spirit and in truth. Until then, Lord, sustain us, guide us, and bless us through the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.